Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Now, I'm back with two authors again today. David Shields, who is a Southern food historian, and his co-author, chef and culinary instructor, Kevin Mitchell. Now, they recently completed their book, Taste the State, South Carolina Signature Foods and Recipes. Now, last segment, we talked about boiled peanuts. Yes, a truly Southern thing. On this segment, we are going to talk about everyone's favorite, biscuits and cornbread. Who doesn't love that? So let's jump right in where I start the conversation with Kevin talking about biscuits.
And I want to switch over to like the bread family here. So biscuits you guys have included in the book as well as cornbread. But I have to also tell you a little bit of story about me with biscuits because, oh, do I love a hot biscuit with lots of butter on it. But before we dive into it, I have to tell you, and I'm going to make a public announcement on this one, because as a Southern girl who can't make biscuits, you know my life is pretty tough. I get beat for that one. So thanks for putting that in there. So
biscuits and cornbread, they have a very love-hate relationship. Either you're a biscuit person or you're a cornbread person. And for me,
I'm both.
I grew up on both. Cornbread specifically in my home with my grandmother, who used cornbread as a base for her stuffing, you know, for the holidays, whether it was for turkey or cooked on the side. Biscuits, more so when I moved to the South, we did have biscuits. She didn't make them. Of course, you can buy them, the Pillsbury with a can that pops and you throw them in the oven. But biscuits and cornbread, once again, that love-hate relationship. And I do believe, you know, cooking of either or kind of designates who you are in the South in stature. So if you are a biscuit person, you are someone that has higher stature than someone that makes cornbread. I'm still trying to do some more research. It was a discussion that I had in a food studies course while at the University of Mississippi, trying to understand the difference. And there have been, you know, people like the Southern Foodways Alliance who have kind of introduced this debate, and actually at a symposium that they held, they did a whole program on, okay, are you team cornbread or are you team biscuit? I will always lean more onto cornbread because I grew up on it. But based on, like, for breakfast, it's going to be a biscuit with a poached egg or sausage gravy. Cornbread for me is more, you know, for like Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner with turkey and dressing and so on and so forth. And then, of course, another debate within cornbread is either it's not sweet or sweet.
Yeah.
I grew up on sweet cornbread. So coming here and having cornbread that's not sweet was another interesting thing for me to deal with, because I'm used to, you know, I think, of course, as Americans, we're used to things that are sweet. So my cornbread has always been sweet. Even if I have it with a bowl of chili or whatever, it's always been sweet. But, you know, I know David, he and I have had the conversation of sweet as opposed to sweet cornbread and so many others as well.
Well, David, I didn't realize there was just debate about cornbread or biscuits. I just thought both of them. And like you just said,
right.
you have one for breakfast and one with your collard greens and black-eyed peas. So I don't know.
The important thing for biscuits, and this is absolute, I mean, you can't have a good biscuit unless you have soft, white, winter wheat. You have to have this. Can't use bread wheat. You can't use, check the mix. There are only certain people that produce this kind of wheat. They'll tell you soft white winter wheat, biscuit, cake flour, and that's the essential thing.
Yeah, and for me, my grandmother, for cornbread, you know, she would take pieces of cornbread, crumble it up in buttermilk, and eat it that way. That hasn't passed down onto me, but I will. As you said, I will take some cornbread and dip it in in the pot liquor that comes from collard greens, so on and so forth. I necessarily didn't know about the specific type of flour for biscuits. You know, we at the school, when we make biscuits, I do believe we use White Lily, which is the brand. It's a self-rising flour. I didn't know whether it was soft wheat or not, but that's,
it is, you know, the, it is.
Okay, great. So we, so when I make biscuits at home, you know, I'm like, I got to have White Lily to make it. If I don't have White Lily, I won't make biscuits.
Well, that's good. And I'm going to add that, to my sheet here when I try and make some biscuits. I'll have to let you guys know how that turns out. But now we talk.
Well, it's an art. It's definitely an art to making a biscuit.
Making it
nice, soft, and fluffy. It's how you maneuver and fold in the butter. You know, the butter has to be extremely cold. You can't over manipulate the dough because you need the butter, the steam from the butter, to help the biscuits rise. If you overwork the dough, they don't rise. They'll still be good, but they'll be this high as opposed to this high.
I definitely want that high. I definitely want that. But now, Kevin, you mentioned collard greens with the, you know, the pot liquor from the collard greens with the cornbread. Now, I can't, if I'm eating collard greens, I must have cornbread. So those two definitely go together for me. I mean, what's the deal now with collard greens? Because I know in your book, you mentioned collard greens and you mentioned cabbage as two of the foods for South Carolina. So I love both of those greens, but certainly collards, I know, are considered very Southern, but I didn't think cabbage was only Southern. So what's
Well, I mean, one of the problems of growing cabbages in the South is that if you save seed from a heading cabbage, it will turn into collard.
What?
Yes. So you have to get seed that is from elsewhere in order to get a heading cabbage. The farthest south of any place that could produce, you could save seed from a heading cabbage and still have heading cabbage in the next generation, was around Asheville, North Carolina. And they had a bunkum cabbage. Became the South's one place which produced cabbage seed. But smothered cabbage, wonderful old Southern dish. Bacon and greens using cabbage. Virginia all the way down to Florida as a dish. Collards. I actually, my favorite type of greens are mustard and turnip green. Georgia was famous for its turnip greens, which it called turnip salad. In 1913, the Chamber of Commerce invited every county in Georgia to hold a feast using only local ingredients. So you had, you know, like 100 different menus prepared all across Georgia. And a lot of these were published in newspapers, and they're probably the greatest snapshot of Georgia cooking, traditional country cooking a century ago. But one of the things which is almost universally found in those menus, regardless of where in Georgia the dinner was held, was turnip green.
Yum, yum. Turnip greens, collard greens. What's your favorite? Do you have a favorite greens? I know I do. I love collard greens. And when we come back, we're not finished talking about greens, because I'll ask Kevin to talk about his pepper greens. Now, I can tell you, you don't want to miss that. So sit tight, because we'll stop right here, take a break. But when we come back, I'll pick right back up with my conversation with David and Kevin about their cookbook, Taste the State, South Carolina Signature Foods and Recipes, right here on Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Back in a moment.
Southern style, free and easy. Southern style, woman reason. If you met a man, believe me, you want her to stay a while. She says she don't believe in strangers, only sinners with the Savior. Cause her mom and daddy raised her. Friday night light lover.